Today on Guilty Movie Pleasures, we're talking the Guillermo del Toro Kaiju versus Jaeger Classic. Oh yes, because today Cameron and I are going to cancel the apocalypse with Pacific Rim.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Guilty Movie Pleasures.
Oh yes! Kevin and I were just talking about how we're wondering if the studios next to us are ever going to bang on the walls.
They're in misery right now.
Whoever has to record next to us hates their lives.
They really do.
It's like me freshman year of college when I had a single dorm room because I was afraid of getting a rando roommate, and then I got the two worst douchebags next door. like the stereotypical freshman year of college experience where on a Tuesday night they get drunk and fall asleep and their bass would be booming to the point where finally I walked over, their door was unlocked, I went and I shut their speakers off and unplugged it and went back.
Did
to
you
room.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kick ass.
Yeah,
man.
It took me like 3 months to gather the balls to do that.
Sometimes it takes a lot.
It does. It does. Anyways, we're not here to talk about my freshman year of college.
That's
we're here to talk about Pacific Rim. That's a RoboCop
the song
theme.
But it's so similar.
It's so
you know
similar.
That they use it as inspiration.
God, this movie's
that
awesome.
Copycats.
You know, a buddy of mine had borrowed this for almost 2 years, and I just got it back over
really?
Kentucky Derby weekend. And I was like, this has to happen. We have to. Because I've been wanting to do this movie forever, and I just didn't have it. And holy shit, this movie's it's only the second time I've ever seen it, and it's
same here.
I've caught pieces of it on HBO before when it was on there, but man, this movie's awesome.
I freaking love this movie. I thought this was way more entertaining for me than a lot of the Transformers movies.
I was thinking
I have to make the comparison because
it's
giant robots.
Very comparable.
But these are massive robots.
The thing, I actually thought that last night halfway through when the Gypsy Danger is dragging the freight ship or the oil ship and then smashes the kaiju in the face with it. I was like, oh man, this is so much cooler than anything that's happened in all four Transformers movies.
It's so cool, especially because you see humans inside.
Yeah.
Who, God, how do you even pilot one of these freaking things?
By drifting.
Apparently drifting
that's
is a thing.
How.
But, I mean, you're bouncing around so much. Every shot that we see of them inside the head, when they're running around in the freaking robot, they're just like,
it's like the world's worst elliptical. It's like,
and why are there buttons?
I don't know.
They're not going to be able to press the buttons.
The other thing is, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but it's fine.
Yeah, just do it.
Because the Jaegers, the one thing I thought was hilarious in this is how apparently the Jaegers can't like fly or anything. They can only just walk really
very
fast
slowly
through the water and just like. It's just that's all they do is just they jog at a medium pace to battle.
Yeah, I don't know. These things are badass.
You
though.
Know, they tried to. They already built giant robots. What more do we want from them?
I guess that's true. Speed.
You want them to fly too?
Maybe a little bit of flight.
No, that's all right. This movie, I saw this in IMAX 3D when it came out, and I remember just being like, oh shit, this is so awesome. That was before my complete aversion to 3D, which we talked about before the show. Hate it now. Back then, loved it. I didn't have glasses at the time, so now glasses on top of glasses
is
fuck me.
You know what the trick I found out with that? You have to put the 3D glasses at kind of an angle on your head.
It still sucks.
It's horrible.
It still sucks.
I loved this movie. I watched this with headphones on.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know why I had the urge. I live alone. My neighbors don't get annoyed by my surround sound. But I was like, this seems like I should be immersed in this.
Yeah.
It was spectacular.
I watched it. I hadn't fired up I have a projector at home, and I hadn't fired it up in a while. And I was like, this movie deserves to be seen on a projector. And I was like, as soon as the sun went down yesterday, I was like, Pacific Rim! And I'm watching it, and it's just like, power fist, sword arm.
The sword arm.
Luckily, my neighbor is partially deaf, so she had no idea.
Well, that's nice.
But she maybe just thought there was like a 2-hour and 10-minute earthquake going on intermittently in the place. But God, this movie, I think, did it come? Zach, can you find out if it came out the same year as Godzilla? I think it did, or the year.
Godzilla was the year after.
The year after, I think Godzilla was. But, don't get me wrong. I really liked Godzilla, the new Godzilla one.
Which was 2014.
Okay.
2014, yeah.
The
Cam
year
is
after.
Right.
Yeah, so the year after. Perfect. That's what I thought. But this, to me, if I had to watch one again, I would always choose this over that because this is way more fun. Godzilla's.
Yes, and this is what I mean. Like, I
darker and grittier, but this is just so fun.
What bothers me a little bit about the current state of this kind of movie, like the I don't know. Would you? This isn't a comic book movie.
No,
but it's in like you know how it feels like it's in a similar realm.
Because
it's not achievable right now. This is what bothers me about the comic book movies right now and movies like Godzilla. It's like there's elements of it that are too realistic. It's like getting way too much into like.
Are you talking about the like DC cinematic universe? Is that what you're getting at? Too gritty, too real.
Yes, but also Marvel stuff.
And also,
it's like they take it too seriously sometimes.
I think Marvel always has a wink and a nod to it.
I suppose.
I would say that a lot of action movies in general. I know what you mean. Like every action movie we do on here, for the most part, is like circa 80s and 90s, and there was like this kind of like ridiculousness to it. Where nowadays. Whenever they try and do that, it usually fails unless it's something like John Wick. So I feel like they can't find that balance anymore. And maybe it's because movies of the 80s and 90s you watch with like we watch here, we laugh at how ridiculous they are, but we love the ridiculousness as well.
Yeah.
And when you see that in 2016, you're kind of like, no, now it's just a shitty movie. You know,
yeah,
like,
that's what I mean. I mean, it's I don't know.
I think Hollywood can't find the balance anymore between making, except I would say our Marvel movies do. They find the balance of, because I just came from Civil War a second time.
Civil War.
And just like moments where like Bucky's in the back saying, can you move your seat up? Is hysterical.
That's, nice.
That's so
good.
Funny. And everything with Paul Rudd. So there are there are gems like that. Not rare. There are, I'd say for every like five, there's one or two good blockbusters that come out. But yeah, they're all very self-serious, very bogged down.
This felt like an 80s movie.
It did. It felt like Robot Jocks.
What is
have
that?
You seen
I've
Robot
Jocks?
Oh,
that.
Shit.
That
we
sounds
got,
spectacular.
We have to do Robot
what
Jocks
is that?
On this
Robot
show.
Robot Jocks?
Robot Jocks on this show is basically Robot Jocks is basically where these, it's like a post-apocalyptic future, and these, for sport, these kind of like this, Jaeger guys go out and fight each other in an arena, kind of like a death sport. And it's fantastic.
I'm writing that down.
You heard it here.
We
we're
going
to watch
that.
Robot Jocks because it's awesome.
Dude, that sounds amazing.
It's incredible. Back to this.
Yes.
Pacific Rim. So seeing it a second time, I really loved it. I did have a few issues, but we can get into that. First, we'll do the plot in 3 minutes. Are you ready for this?
Maybe.
Let me see. Let me get my notes out too. Oh, yeah. It's pretty...
There's like four things that
pretty,
happen.
Pretty
Let's
simple.
Be honest. Can we do the
pretty
plot
simple.
In under a minute?
No, we'll do it in 3 minutes. We'll still give it three. Are you ready in the booth, Zach?
Let's do it.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Begin.
So we basically start off with this awesome exposition where they're like, there's a rift. We were looking up to the sky for aliens to come, but no, it came from the center of the ocean where a rift in the space-time continuum happened, and all these kaiju started coming out and attacking, and then at first they were just decimated. The Earth was decimated.
They didn't know how to handle
it. And then to fight monsters, they build monsters of their own. So then the Jaegers fight, and they're starting to kick ass. Yeah, everything's winning, but then the monsters, the kaiju that come out, get stronger. They're actually
category 4.
Category
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, and it's just escalating, and the kaijus, or the Jaegers are getting their asses kicked, so of course bureaucrats are saying, let's build a wall. Trump, anybody? So they have basically a bunch of Trumps there being like, let's build a wall for these monsters. They can't get through, and of course they still get through.
Yeah,
Trump.
We see the one in Australia, you know? I think. The one in Australia gets in through in an hour.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so then what happens? Then we catch up. Oh, the first battle happens, and then Beckett's brother dies, and it's really sad, and he somehow gets to the shores of the Arctic, and then he's off in the construction site. Boom, take it away.
The government says, hey, we have to shut down these Jägermeisters because they are not working.
I was waiting for that.
And so Idris Elba's character goes to the brother who survived and says, hey, we need you back. We're going to do it anyways. We need you to come over here to construction site.
With
so
one
they go
last
back.
Stand in
he
Hong
trains.
Kong.
He meets Miso. What's her name?
Mako?
Mako. He meets Mako. Mako?
Mako.
Mako.
I thought it was Margo for a while.
Take it away
he
from
meets Mako, and Mako's clearly badass, but there's something between Marshall, Idris Elba's character, and Mako where they're like, it's like a father-daughter thing, and he's very overprotective.
Yes.
She's clearly the person who could drift with who's drift compatible with Beckett, but he's just, no, I won't have it. So then they finally drift together, and she has all these horrible memories of the time when her family was killed by one of the kaiju, and Marshall rescued her, freaks out. Then they're like, this is never going to work. Boom. The kaiju category 4 comes out. They're like, oh, shit. They go out there to fight it. Another category 4 comes out, and then they start attacking, and then the Russian guys get killed. The Chinese guys get killed, and then the Aussies get injured, too, and it all just becomes a giant cluster of fuck.
Only
and
two Jaegers left.
And then, oh, the electromagnetic pulse. One of the kaiju lets out a big EMP, so they got to go analog. They got to get the nuclear core gypsy danger out there.
Which I don't know if that... Why would you go to electronic? Anyways, it doesn't make sense. There's so two gypsy of them danger. Left. They decide, hey, we have to go and break the rift thing because that's what's going on.
But and then we found out Charlie Day's character.
Yeah, Charlie Day has to drift with the thing. He has to get the other science.
He drifts with the kaiju brain and figures out with his very British partner
that they have to take a kaiju in there to blow it up.
Because it's basically like a bar scanning device.
30 seconds.
So basically what we missed was that Charlie Day's character goes off and finds Ron Perlman's character, Hannibal Chow, and he finds that he's just harvesting all these organs and stuff. And so they find out that, yes, you have to scan a kaiju in like a barcode almost. That's how they get through the drift or the break in the time-space continuum. Anyways, what happens is they're fighting, and then boom, the Marshall and the Australian guy, they blow themselves up and sacrifice themselves. And then Beckett, he rides the kaiju into the thing. Boom, everything blows up. They come out on a life raft. They're hugging, and then everything's fine. Yeah, we beat it! Pacific we canceled the apocalypse! We had so much time left, and then I went back and started nitpicking the Hannibal Chow storyline. Okay. You had brought it home. Like, we were ready to end early.
But you forgot back in the first scene they had a coffee. I believe it was a cappuccino.
You were almost done, and then I'm like, nah, fuck that. We missed a detail.
No, here's what happened. You're going, we have to put it down to the wire because it's more entertaining.
Yeah, it's more entertaining.
We made it happen. We brought it home.
More entertaining.
Oh, God, this movie. Ron Perlman. So, Idris Elba. What are you guys doing here?
So awesome. Before we get into everything awesome about this movie, one gripe I have.
Oh, shit.
The only gripe I have is that they spend too much time on the Marshall Mako storyline where it's like, you can't do it. You're not good enough. And you just know eventually she's going to fight. And I know they put that in there for conflict, but we have enough conflict with monsters fighting robots. I would have rather it been like, build the team like Prometheus did, or like Aliens, where it's like we learn a little bit more about the Russians instead of just them come out and be super blonde Ivan Dragos and then be like, we're getting killed out here. Ah, we're killed. And that's like all they... Or the awesome... I think triplets from China. They had the three-arm buzzsaws.
Yes, I forget what their names are.
Come on.
Somewhere. But yeah.
Everything,
no, I agree. I mean,
everything about those guys, I wanted to learn more.
At the beginning of the movie, we see Beckett's brother die, as you said. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't even take up that much time.
No.
It barely is ever referenced again.
Yeah. Well, a little bit. Like, clearly he's hurting from it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's more of like...
It's more like a...
we see it on his face type of thing.
Yeah.
Then it's Idris Elba and Marshall and Maiko. Maiko? I see this is the name
I think it's Mako, because for the longest time I thought it was Margo, but I think it's Mako. Can you look that up, Zach?
It's Mako Mori.
Mako
Mori.
That's
why I get so confused with it. It's like two of the same word. But yeah, they just talk about it forever.
I also would have loved for that exposition in the beginning that's so badass. I would have loved for like 20 minutes of that instead of 5 minutes of that, where it's like, show a little bit more of the devastation by the kaiju.
Yeah.
And then, I would have been cool with that. Although I was also really cool with how fast they went through. So I'm torn. I just think the second act of the movie drags a little for me, because I'm sitting here going, she's clearly going to be badass. Yeah. But then they don't let her be that badass. That's the other thing.
In like the pole fighting scene and stuff?
In the pole fighting scene, she's
not that great.
Well, yeah, but she's sparring with him. You know, she's matched by him.
Yeah.
But then in the end, he's the one who sacrifices himself, and she just is basically like, get up there on the raft, see ya. She doesn't get to have that kind of hero moment that they're building to, other than she can just... elliptical really well with
Charlie. I think she swings the sword occasionally.
Yeah. That's
about it.
That's the thing I remember seeing it the first time. And I always think this in these kind of movies where like when the monster has been just punching and punching and then finally it goes like, and like vomits this like blue. It's like, why didn't you open with the blue acid? That could have. I get that the fight scene would end in 30 seconds, but like strategically,
I mean, it's not. You've been fighting these things for years.
Strategically, if or open with the EMP.
Open with the EMP.
But I don't want that because then it would cut down the action scenes. But now we're just picking apart the logic of things, which is the sword. Why the fuck didn't you use the sword?
Yeah, and why does it come out flaccid?
Yeah. Hold on, we gotta get this thing.
Like, pull that
up.
Motherfucker out.
Like, guys, clearly this is like any fighting game where you have to land punches or get hit a numerous amount of times before your energy bar fills up and you can let out blasts of certain special abilities.
That might be it.
I completely agree with that. I'm not complaining. I just think it's hilarious when that happens. Like, we have one more weapon. The weapon that can pretty much fuck up every kaiju that comes at us by cutting them in half. Why didn't we use that before?
In the throat.
Best shot of the whole movie. Awesome. Best shot of the whole movie. Flying up in space. Flaccid sword to rock hard. She cuts the kaiju in half. Slow motion as they
both. It's so good. I think one of my favorite moments when the kaiju's coming at him and he just has sword ready. Just fucking puts it in his throat. Yes, splits in the side.
Ah, so good.
My favorite, just something to consider with this movie.
Please.
My favorite thing is you can't help but ask the question sitting there watching. Is this a world worth saving? Because look at all the devastation that's been caused already. It's going to take thousands of years to rebuild all this shit.
But
should we let it go?
But there's still millions of lives at stake.
Maybe. I'm not convinced.
Or maybe
of
hundreds.
That either.
There's hundreds.
There's hundreds of lives.
There are still hundreds of lives.
There's 100 people alive. Because these things are so massive. Yeah. There can only be like 11 of them at one time. I mean, it's insane.
It seems like it takes a while for these creators to build them, you know, and to kind of go back to the drawing board and be like, well, last time it didn't work. Let's figure this out. I want to go into the first sound clip, which is part of the opening epic 10 minutes, which is like, it's super, super awesome. Yeah. And like I said, I love how quickly they get into things. I just think it gets bogged down in the second act, but this opening is so awesome. And can we play the fight monster? We built monsters of our own clip. I think I have it labeled like that. What did I label it? We built monsters, something like that. What does it say? Yeah. I don't hear anything. Is it playing? Monsters of our own. Can we play that one more time?
To fight monsters, we created monsters of our own.
Come on, man.
To fight monsters,
we created monsters of our own. The lead is fine in this. He's a little on the boring side, but he's fine. He's a tough guy.
Yeah, he's...
he's a little... He's okay. I found him a little boring.
He was...
Idris Elba kills it, though.
I love Idris Elba in anything he does.
He was in Jungle Books as the voice of Shere Khan, and he's terrifying. Just his voice as the tiger.
I haven't seen that one yet.
He's so scary. He's great in everything. He's so underutilized in Thor. Use Idris Elba more in Thor Ragnarok. Come on. He's awesome. I love that opening. Just that gave me chills when I saw it in theaters. I was like, ooh.
I love this whole idea that like we were looking at the sky for these things to come.
Yeah.
And they came from
below.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. We don't know because we don't know what's at the bottom of the ocean. We can't even get all the way down there.
The Titanic's down there somewhere.
Somewhere, and they've found squids that are 200 feet long that we've never seen.
That
because we found them in the belly of sperm whale, but we've never seen them.
How does that? I'm scared
because the sperm whale's eating them. Anyways,
we might have to build monsters of our own.
This was something I read about 10 years ago, so I haven't fact checked it in a while. But if anybody wants to debunk that, now here's the other thing. So then this exposition goes on for a while, but it's really good. It's really fast paced, and they explain the drift thing because it's kind of a weird concept. So rather than you or I try to explain it, let's just let Charlie Huffman or Charlie.
Thank you.
What's his name? Yeah, Charlie Hunnam. Let's let Charlie Hunnam explain it with the Drift exposition clip, please.
The Drift. Jaeger tech. Based on DARPA, jet fighter neural systems. Two pilots mind-melding through memories with the body of a giant machine. The deeper the bond...
Drift with it.
The better you fight.
We'd be terrible drifters. We were doing opposite things. You're doing this... You're having Spock scissor fest, and I did like the Gypsy Danger always had to activate like Yeah, what the hell is that?
So good.
It's
all
amazing.
Right.
And I like when there's so much shit happening, and there's like work that needs to be done, and there's people sitting around that big warehouse, and he just turns, and there's just like everybody's looking up, and he does this. Everybody's like, oh,
yeah.
And there's hundreds of people dying outside.
Oh, man. The Drift.
Kaiju, it's Jaeger Tech.
I don't know how many times. It's Jaeger Tech.
Jaeger
Tech. I don't know how many times me and my buddies, since seeing this, have mentioned that we'd be Drift compatible. Like, anytime, instead of Jinx, this has replaced Jinx for me and my nerd friends. Instead of like, Jinx, you owe me a Coke or whatever, now it's like, Drift compatible. Like, if we say the same thing at the same time, we're such nerds. It's
you
like,
you owe me a Jaeger?
Drift, yeah, you owe me a Jaeger. And then they get you a shot of Jaeger. And I said, no, not that, dude. Fucking a giant robot, bro. I've never used the word bro in a unironic sense. But yeah, so this replaced Jinx for me.
I didn't really. Drift is an interesting term for this, I think.
Yeah. Should I think of Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift,
that's
whatever
what
I think of drifting until this movie.
How does this work, by the way? Do you feel everything they feel?
I think the problem is that you're, what it is from what this movie, the exposition, I cannot pronounce exposition today. I keep saying exposition. So
that's how Sean Connery said it.
From what the
fair.
Exposition gives me today is that
we would share
minds completely, meaning you have access to everything in my mind. But the key is to focus on the now and what's it's very zen.
But then why do they have to verbally communicate?
That's very interesting, because the audience can't see everything.
The audience can't hear my thoughts. Yeah. Okay.
That's fair, why. Because otherwise it'd be like, oh, they're doing something with this.
Just cut the shots.
How many awesome things did they come up with? But I feel like, before we get into the whole plot, I'd like to just list off some of my favorite Jaeger weapons.
Yes, please.
Mine was the Jaeger bomb. Three buzz saws.
Sorry.
I had several Jaeger bombs in college, and now they make me want to die. So 22 minutes on the clock. All right, perfect. So there's three buzz saws with the triplets, and
yeah,
that's amazing.
That's really good.
They have the jet pack behind the elbow that makes the punch stronger.
Yeah.
And then they have the other thing that also makes it go like a Bruce Lee, like 1 foot death.
Yeah.
Although it's probably like a half mile because they're so giant.
Yeah.
It's a half mile death punch. I'm trying to think of what else they have. They have so many other
things.
My
favorite is the chest just opening up. And I like how it's activated. I love how they activate things. There's no like buttons and shit. It's like you just do this.
It's like,
and rockets come out. What if you just did that accidentally and you're, you know, in front of
I think you
Yankee
have to think
Stadium
it too.
Something.
I think you have to think it too. Like, I'm gonna do it's like, it reminds me of Xbox Kinect. Like,
yeah.
Right, I'm doing it. Yeah, I'm dancing on Kinect.
I wish that there was an arcade game for this. That would be
Xbox,
so fucking awesome.
Please make Pacific Rim the Kinect game. Damn it.
Did you guys ever do the Pacific Rim Oculus experience?
No, I've wanted to. I hear it's awesome.
They had it at San Diego Comic-Con, I think, 2 years ago. And it, like, you couldn't actually interact with it. It was just,
you're
like
just
a
watching.
Movie, and you can, like, look around. But it's basically the opening sequence where you watch the brother get, like, ripped out of the... You're in the pilot seat.
You, it,
awesome.
Of all things to choose, it's like, let's show the horrible death of a loved one. This reminds me, you're too young for this, and Zach, you're probably too young too, but hopefully an audience member, the chest thing you're talking about reminds me of Buttons McBoom Boom from the show Cops. It was a 1980s animated show. If anybody remembers that, give me a shout out on the Twitter, because that is a nerd reference from... all right, you know what? Go fuck yourselves, you millennials, whatever you call yourselves.
What is that name? Buttons McBoom Boom?
Buttons McBoom Boom. He had a pink suit on, and it was cops fighting crime in a future time. And he let it... and the chief of police had like an arm like Jax or like Winter Soldier that was all metal. And Buttons McBoom Boom, I had the toy. He would lower down and then these shitty rubber... On the toy.
Nipples?
On the toy. Yeah, shitty rubber nipples. On the toy, these shitty, like, rubber guns would come out and go, like, obviously the toy didn't. I made the sound. We're going to move on from that, because no one understands that reference, except someone out there on Twitter will appreciate fighting crime in a future time.
Oh, my God.
So let's keep moving on. So we got the exposition out of the way, and then, and I said the word correctly this time, Beckett's brother dies. He gets ripped out of the Jaeger.
Does it hurt when the arm...
Why
happens,
does that happen? Because the Jaeger gets attacked, and it's like it hurts their arm too,
that
which is
sucks.
Weird because they're set up in like this hologram thing. So how did the hologram
I don't know. It turned that shit off.
I know. It's like, yeah.
Like, hey, why would you keep
in this
that
new
feature?
Version, maybe the pain sensors shouldn't be in there.
I don't want to cry if the machine cries. Can we turn that off? Otherwise.
The Jaeger's arm. Because, yeah, the Jaeger's arm in the end gets ripped off, and it's not like Beckett's arm actually flies off.
No, but in the beginning, scream out in pain.
I think, yeah, that's a definite design flaw. That's some sadomasochism right there. That's what I actually wrote that down. It's just so funny. That's one of the notes I had. I'm confused why they would do that.
Yeah, arm hurts.
And I love the guy with the metal detector on the beach. It's like, oh, we're going to find something big today. Because that's the kind of stuff we're talking about that movies, except Marvel has stuff like that. But like a lot of blockbusters are missing. And when they do, it just seems kind of cheesy. But that joke worked for me when it's like, we're going to find something big. And then this giant Jaeger. Because in the world of this movie, that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Although I don't know why you're metal detecting on an ice-frozen beach.
Hey, nobody else was there.
But I love it.
It's a gold mine. Nobody else is in your territory.
It cracked me up.
That was what was great about that. That was a shot that you could see the scale of how large these
machines
are.
Whenever they do that, it's so cool to see it next to like a person. Because you forget.
Yeah, because normally you see like that bust shot pretty frequently, right? So you see, it looks like a transformer, you know, machine, whatever.
Yeah.
But then when they show, like from, they did a few from the streets of New York or something.
Yeah.
And it's just like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
That thing is huge.
It's insane. It's, I like that. I wish that more movies nowadays, I feel like they're all, and it's probably trying to hide the CGI and stuff like that. They get in real close. But yeah. I know the original Transformers was very guilty of, don't get me wrong, I like some of the Transformers movie, but 1 and 3 I like, but the other two.
Yeah.
But they get in very close to mask the CGI. Whereas, like, older movies would back out and give you a wide shot and let you see a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, show me some more shit.
Yeah.
So much. And then that's what, Godzilla did some good wide shots. This has
they
a
did.
Few.
Yeah, this Godzilla did some good ones.
So then, basically, this is one of my favorite moments is when Beckett's just bumming out on this Arctic construction site building the wall. This is Who knew this movie was so topical?
We're gonna build a wall. It's gonna be huge.
We're gonna build a wall to keep the aliens from underneath the ocean out. Huh? This movie could be considered a satire for the modern political race. Anyways,
I was so happy when they showed that shot from Australia.
Oh, when it just crashes
just like
through.
It broke through in an hour.
Did you hear the guy in the background?
No.
Did you hear it? Oh my god.
Oh,
you have to rewatch it because there's a background actor. I gotta pull up the.
Oh man,
there's a guy who screams, hey, why are we even building this?
Why are we even building this stupid thing?
It's the fucking best.
Oh man, well, while you look up the exact line, I want to play Marshall's his rah-rah speech. So Marshall shows up and Beckett's Marshall Idris Elba, by the way. Beckett, Charlie Hunnam, in case you got confused. But Marshall shows up, and he and Beckett's basically like, my brother died. I still feel him in my brain. I can't do it again. And then Marshall gives him a 30-second pep talk that changes his entire 5-year perspective since he's been out of the game for 5 years. Can we play the pep talk, Marshall's pep talk, please? As you search for this.
What did you call that
Fuck
one,
me.
Ben?
What did I call it? A Marshall.
End of the world pep talk?
I think it's called like end of the world pep talk or something.
Apocalypse
I need
pep
to start,
talk?
I need to start labeling these more correctly. World is coming to an end pep talk. See?
There it is.
Haven't you heard, Mr. Beckett? The world is coming to an end. So where would you rather die? Here? Or in a Jaeger?
He's so badass.
Valid point. Okay, fuck yeah. Put me inside.
That's why this movie, that's why the second act is so confusing to me in this movie, because the first and third act, there's brevity. There's just like so much, like they don't fucking waste any time. It's like, we don't need him to like go off and be sitting on the construction site sad and looking out, and then a Jaeger attacks there and he goes, and all of his construction workers die, and he's like, shit, I gotta do this. They don't waste time with stuff
that.
They're just like, well, you're right, Marshall. I'm coming with you.
Yeah.
But then the second act is just like, you can't do it. You can't.
Yeah.
Okay, Mako, I'll let you. Never
no,
mind, you can't do it.
But okay.
That's why I'm like, no! But that's okay, because they're hopefully going to make a Pacific Rim 2. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm nitpicking minor things for a movie I love almost 85% of this film.
I love, yeah.
If not more. And I don't even
so much
hate that stuff. It just bugs me a little bit.
It's stuff that you notice.
Because it's all everything else is so well done.
It sticks out. Yeah.
That's why. But so we're gonna keep moving along here, where Charlie Day, Gottlieb is introduced. Gottlieb and Charlie Day. Can we play the "My mother calls me doctor" line, please?
This is our research team, Dr. Gottlieb and Dr. Geiser.
Oh, no, call me Newt. Only my mother calls me doctor.
I don't understand.
That sucks. That doesn't seem like it was worth medical school.
That joke has so many levels. When you really peel back the layers of that joke, is it that he actually didn't go to school and he's only considered a doctor in his mom's eyes or no one else? Or is it like... my name's Benjamin. No, call me Ben. Only my mother calls me Benjamin. I think that's the joke he's trying to make.
I think that's the joke he's trying to make.
But it also has weird ramifications as well when you say, because playing doctor has... We don't need to get into that, though.
We should.
For the next half hour. For the next 22 minutes, which we don't have.
The ins and outs.
Please call me doctor. So these two characters, Newt and Dr. Gottlieb, are... Newt, I think, is really funny. I like Charlie Day in this a lot.
I do, too.
The other guy, he's out of, like, some weird BBC, like...
Yes!
Like, it seems like he's from...
Downton Abbey...
Or, like, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the original BBC series version. Like, it seems like he's, like, from the 70s acting now. Was like, well, everything is very, like, listen to me, we don't understand a thing about this. It's just the math. And when he's doing the math equation, and it's like...
He's like, 4 + 2. Yeah,
it's like, five. What all of this means, it took 17 chalkboards to come up with that. It means four kaiju are coming through.
What?
It's a double event! How did all of this... No, I'm sorry, 3 kaiju this time, and then it becomes 4, and it's... Oh, no, it's so too many. And
every 4 minutes.
I don't understand how all of this means that there are 3 kaiju coming out, and every single thing he does seems as if at any moment he's just trying to get out a large poop or something.
He was trying to squeeze one out. You know what? He is from the 70s, you're right.
Yeah.
I think it's the hair, too.
You know what? The funny thing
the
is,
pale, the very
at first
pale
I was really annoyed by him, and then I was like, I kind of like his commitment. At least he stays committed the
Absolutely.
Whole time.
Absolutely.
The whole time.
Do that. Don't have to do it.
Yeah, and he does not have to do it at all.
If anything, he doubles it.
He does. And I actually, I said this formulas I really loved, and then there's the whole training montage with Beckett where it's like, we got to figure out who's drift compatible with you, which apparently means just like, who you fight well in a quarterstaff match. Yeah. And that's like, as far as I remember, that's the only thing they do to... Why didn't they spend more
that
time
is the
on
only
that?
Thing. No, that's the only
I
thing.
I would have loved more of a montage figuring out if you're drift compatible. But
like seeing if you like the same movies.
Yeah, like, ready on the count of three. Say your favorite comedy. One, two, three. What Hot American Summer? What?
Oh, that was close.
See, we're not drift compatible.
We're not drift compatible.
On the count of three, what's your favorite action film? 1, 2, 3. RoboCop or Terminator 2? It's a very good film, so I could see why that would be yours. Well, we're not drift compatible. It's all right. It's okay. Don't get upset. Zach,
God.
On the count of three, what's your favorite rock band from the 90s? 1, 2, 3. Green
Nirvana,
Day.
Nirvana. I don't know.
Oh, I was going to say Nirvana.
I was going to say Green Day.
I was going to say Nirvana, but it's not mine.
It's definitely not mine, but it was the first band I thought of.
We did just drift.
I think you guys just drifted.
I second guessed my drifting there. Yes. I'm going to keep moving along here.
But there are people
we have
here.
A whole lot of movies. So we're going to skip over some of the quarterstaff fighting and all this stuff. Basically, the middle section, like we said, it's a lot of... something's going on with Marshall and Mako, and then you realize that he saved her from a kaiju.
Yeah, we find out he was a Jaeger pilot.
Yeah, and he took her in and basically...
A Jaeger master.
He was a Jaeger master. Or in Germany, how they say it? Jägermeister?
Oh, yes.
Because the Jägermeister...
The German.
Jägermeister?
Jägermeister.
So basically, what happens with the Jägermeister, he takes her in and he brings her in... What if I just did the rest of the show like that? He takes her in as his daughter, and then, you know... Anyways,
Idris
Alba. No, so he takes her in as his very own, raises her as a daughter, and that's why he's afraid for her well-being, rightfully so, because most of these Jaeger pilots die horrible deaths out there. Like none survive.
When the highest record is like, I killed 10. Or somebody says 11 at some point. I was like,
it's like soccer. It's like soccer
God
scores.
Damn.
That's what's going on
Holy
right now.
Holy shit!
Well, we killed 10. But the other team's getting more like basketball scores.
Where chalkboard they, motherfucker just said they come out every 4 minutes. You killed 10 successfully?
So, okay. All right. All right. So they're like more like a score 92 and you have about 4. Okay. Okay. They're playing basic basketball. We're playing soccer. But so then it builds to there's a big attack happening and there's the double event happening. And these two giant Category 4 kaijus come out.
Double event, I suppose, just means that two of them are coming.
Because up until now, only one has come out. But he was like, that's going to be a double event. I predict it. A beautiful mind. Anyways, Goodwill Hunting predicts it. So the double event happens. The Russians go out, who we know nothing about, except they look like Ivan Drago's offspring in the future.
Russian.
And they sound awesome in Russian. And they have like weird kind of like mech helmets on that everybody has their own design.
It's part of the drifting thing.
It's part of the drifting thing. It's their Russian tech. So anyways, the triplets, the Chinese triplets go out there too, and there's this badass fight in the ocean.
How are they not the ones that just fucking take the day?
I know, right?
Three people.
You would think.
Jaeger.
And they have the buzz saws, and they're attacking the kaiju, crazy. And then the Russians, and then... they kill the triplets real fast. They just like rip off the arm.
Oh my god!
They decimate them.
It looked like a toy.
Oh, it's brutal. And then the Russians I can't even remember how they get destroyed. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head what it was. Oh, the Russians have the power fist though. It's like that's fun.
That reminded
me of the chest missiles. They have the chest missiles too.
The guy in Civil War had that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What is it called? I don't remember.
Crossbones had it. So then all that's left is the Aussies are sitting there after the Russians and the Chinese have been destroyed. And the Aussies, the EMP happens. And the Aussies are like, well, I got an idea. You want to do something crazy? Just like fucking Aussies do. We go out there and we get our balls and we just show them like we're fucking Australian, mate. And they go out there and their big plan, I guess, is they have these flare guns, and I'm like, oh, shit, okay, they know something about, like, flares and how it affects the kaiju, and then they're just like, let's fucking do this, mate. And then they're like, that was their plan. It's like, wait.
Fucking Australia. They were too distracted because the wall didn't work in Sydney.
They're
fucking pissed.
They were just mad because Sydney got destroyed.
The wall didn't
whack? The wall didn't whack. Fuck it. Now, don't get me wrong, I respect Australians, but these Australians' plan, it just defies all logic, and they're just ballsy about it.
Did nobody think of the fucking possibility of an EMP?
I think that, it's like a superpower that this kaiju had. They
are coming from another planet up through the
ocean. Eventually, it's going to happen. Eventually. So it does. The EMP happens, and the nuclear core base Gypsy Danger is sent back out after they were like, Mako, you can't do this. You can't. Well, fuck. I guess you have to.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it,
And this is my favorite fight scene in the entire movie, is where they come out, they fuck up the first kaiju, just decimate that. I forget how they kill the first one. What happens to
let's
it?
See,
oh, rips the kaiju's tongue out. Oh, that's so good. That's the second kaiju, though. The first one, I just wrote, Gypsy Danger arrives and fucks this kaiju up.
I wrote that so many times.
I'm glad I was very descriptive about it.
That was my favorite scene.
This one, the Jaeger, they grab the freighter, the cars, and they're punching, and then they smash the kaiju's face with the freighter, and it has that awesome slow motion, like Mike Tyson punch-out moment. And then, when they fuck this kaiju up, they rip out the tongue, and then they freeze the tail and shatter that off, and then the kaiju, in typical silly kaiju fashion, decides to reveal it has wings now, after it's been getting just destroyed.
What the hell?
Get the wings earlier, bro! Come on!
EMP the fuck out of and use the wings.
So then, we talked about this shot, my favorite shot in the entire thing. Oh, first, I know how, it rips out the tongue, and this is one of my favorite sound clips. Where they're backing up the first kaiju and they're just going unload the clip, and then he's like, let's play the no pulse clip because this is after the kaiju's on the ground pretty much dead, but he's learned his lesson about this. Can we play the no pulse?
I think this guy's dead, but let's check for a pulse.
Okay.
No pulse.
So good.
By the way, you should have checked after that because there's still a possibility.
Oh, yes.
I'm just saying.
Because later on, we find out. So basically, no pulse happens. He goes in the beatdown and all beatdowns. He comes in dragging a freighter ship through the streets. So awesome.
Again, that's where you get the sense of the scale.
Crashes in the face. Epic shots. And then he's looking around for the kaiju. And the kaiju crashes through a building and tackles him.
Yeah.
All this amazingness. The tail gets frozen. They fly up into space. And that's when they're like, wait, we have one weapon left that we should have been using from the beginning. Sword kills it. We already went over that.
Flaccid to hard. By the way, that would be a scary fall.
Oh yeah,
son of a bitch. They said 50,000.
Oh, insane
feet.
That's like 50 skydives.
Put a parachute on the thing.
Come on, next time for Pacific Rim 2, make them fly, but also give them parachutes.
Just in case the flying idea. Doesn't work.
You know, and then so now we've skipped. We got to go into. Newt's character, he goes off to find this, find Hannibal, right. Hannibal Chow. Yeah, 4 minutes. Oh, God, here we go.
Ron Perlman.
So Hannibal Chow is this kaiju organ dealer, and he goes to him, and Hannibal basically screws him over immediately and is like, hey, yeah, he realizes that the kaiju have drifted with him so they know where he is, and he knows their secret. So they're gunning. That's why they go in the city. They're gunning for Newt.
Which sucks, by the way.
And then later on, Newt comes back, and he says to Hannibal Chow... Wait, I want to actually... Hannibal Chow, where did he get his name? Let's see Hannibal Chow's namesake. It's Hannibal Chow name is one of the clips.
So I take it you're Hannibal Chow, right?
I like the name. I took it from my favorite historical character and my second favorite Szechuan restaurant in Brooklyn.
I love that.
Tell me what you want, or I gut you like a pig and feed you to the skin louse.
He's so cool. Ron Perlman is the king of cool.
He's so good.
Come on. I took it from my favorite historical character and my second favorite Szechuan restaurant. Why is it his second favorite? Because his first one was like Hunan and it just didn't sound right.
Yeah.
Hannibal Hunan, but Hannibal Chow.
Hannibal Chow.
He's got the gold-tipped ching-ching shoes. He's so awesome.
I love that he's like, I want to call him a background character, but I love that Ron Perlman plays this character who's not on screen that often.
Well, him and Guillermo are tight after Hellboy 1 and 2. That's true. Hellboy 2 is awesome, but we should do that on the show. Yeah. It's not guilty at all, but it's amazing.
No, but it's really good.
So Hannibal Chow and him, Hannibal basically sends him off in this bunker where he's pretty much trapped and the kaiju almost kills him, and then Jaeger comes in and chops him in half. And then... Newt comes back to Hannibal Chow, and can we play One-Eyed Bitch, please? This is what he says to him.
Okay, guess who's back, you one-eyed bitch?
You owe me a kaiju brain.
You know, I actually, the funny thing about that is that I remember in The Odyssey, Homer's The Odyssey, the Greek epic.
Yeah.
I read a version of it in high school that quickly my English teacher took away because there's an unedited version of that. And when Odysseus fights the Cyclops in it for the first time, there was a line in there where he looks at the Cyclops and he says,
"Guess who's back, you one-eyed bitch?"
And I remember being like, wow, the Greeks were really like ahead of the times with their language. And in high school in Ohio, one-eyed bitch just wouldn't fly.
What did your teacher say?
She just was very appalled. But this is the same teacher that got appalled by Return of the Killer Tomatoes when she brought that into class on accident. That's a true story. There's a moment of boobs in a shower, like you can barely see the shadow of them, and she was like, "Ah, we're watching Black Beauty instead," and we're in like ninth grade. We're like, we've seen boobs. I've never seen them in real life.
My teacher goes, "Hey, it's just a boob, people." Rewound it, played it again.
I love it. So one-eyed bitch. So oh,
one-eyed
man.
Bitch.
The only other thing I can think of are dick jokes, and I'm not going to do that.
If I had a nickname for my penis, it would be...
Guess who's back, you one-eyed bitch?
Oh, I hate
that's what
that.
I say every time I shower.
Guess who's back, you...
Guess who's back, you one-eyed bitch?
Jesus, we got so frat humor on us.
It really got so.
Oh, shit. So then, what you were saying about the heartbeat thing, it turns out that the kaiju was pregnant, and this tiny baby kaiju comes running around.
Most disgusting birth I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, it's a really gross birth. Oh, shit, we have a minute. Oh, shit. All right, well, so then anyways, and then Ron Perlman has this awesome speech where he's like, this baby's dead, fuck him, whatever. And then it eats him. Later on, we find out he's still alive.
When they're digesting and stuff, it's like, to them, it's like a Cheez-It.
Yeah.
But for sure, whatever like, reason, they chew on it.
Like,
forever.
I've never popped a piece of popcorn in my mouth and been like... So, before we wrap, because I want to play two more clips. Basically, we didn't even get to talk about the epic underwater fight. We did.
Where they cut the... There were scissors.
The kaiju in half, and then...
Dragon.
Where Idris Elba blows up the other one, and then they ride the big Category 5 one into the rift and blow it up, and then save the day. But the two sound clips I do want to play is Newt and Gottlieb. Can we play the, gonna get this bad boy? It's the...
Say it with me, my man. We're gonna own this bad boy.
All right, Joe. We are going to own this thing for sure.
And all Charlie's trying to do is all Newt is trying to do is have him like shake his hand like this. And Gottlieb can't figure. He's like, we are going to. I don't.
Own this thing for sure.
I don't understand what's happening here, but if I just tap around it, eventually it will make sense. I wonder if he has sex the same way. I don't get it, but eventually my one-eyed bitch will make sense of this. Oh man, I just did that. Oh, we got to end on a higher note than that. So we'll leave you with the big speech. Which is probably one of the greatest moments in apocalypse history. They used it for the trailer. Idris Elba, this is why he deserves an Oscar.
It rivals the Independence Day
It
speech,
does, it rivals, because it's shorter and sweeter than, and let's play that. Let's play Cancel the Apocalypse, please.
Today.
I love that.
Today.
At the edge of our hope. At the end of our time. We have chosen not only to believe in ourselves, but in each other. Today, there's not a man nor woman in here that shall stand alone.
What about me?
Not today.
Your brother.
Today, we face the monsters that are at our door and bring the fight to them. Today, we are canceling the apocalypse.
I cannot think of a better way to end the show than canceling the apocalypse.
I agree with you.
That just made, I'm going to go run a marathon after this.
I would pay him to just yell things for me.
Anytime I get a text, I want, can we play Cancel the Apocalypse? I want it to be like,
today we are canceling the apocalypse.
That's going to be my alarm clock in the morning.
In the middle of a meeting.
Can you imagine that?
An important meeting and all of a sudden,
today we are canceling the apocalypse!
Imagine if every day when you woke up, when you're in bed dreaming, this wakes you up.
Today we are canceling the apocalypse!
Yeah, we are!
Oh, we're canceling!
Oh, David, it's Friday!
I forgot if I stand up, you can't see anything. Anyways,
I can see
we have canceled the apocalypse today, ladies and gentlemen, with Pacific Rim. Cam, where can they find you?
At the only Cam Chat, Twitter, and Instagram, at Guilty Movie Guys on Twitter.
At The Ben Begley and also at Funhouse Massacre. We are coming out. Funhouse Massacre comes out June 7th. That's like 2 weeks away. Pre-order your copy now on Amazon. And if you want to Netflix, do the DVD thing and all that good stuff, FunhouseMassacreMovie.com. Until next time, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit PopcornTalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.
Today we are canceling the apocalypse!